Stars of the Coast.
The Law of War and the Law of Punishment.
Presenting True Life Jury Trial. Stories in fictionized form, typical of the unfolding human dramas of the court. Tonight, the case of the unknown scent.
Day of my trial. I, Nora Quinn, stand here in the dock charged with murder. The court is crammed with people. Everywhere I look, there are eyes staring at me. Inquisitive, sympathetic, contemptuous. The reporters are ready. Everyone will hear the name Nora Quinn. Everyone will read my story. That is what I want, what I have wanted for 20 years. To tell my story to the world. To let them do as they will with me.
Your Honor, I do not think that this case will take up much of the court's time. Very simple, straightforward case, as will be seen when the evidence unfolds. The accused, Nora Quinn, and her housekeeper, Bella Bowman, who, I understand, now lies seriously ill in hospital, lived together on a lonely farm in the hills. On the night of March the 1st last, a wandering tramp, whose identity cannot be established, called at the farmhouse to fetch the food and shelter. These he was given, and we may take it for granted that he crept into the barn where he spends the night thanking the kind women who had taken him in. Little knowing that during that night, one of these kind women would creep into the barn and with a single rifle shot end his life. And why? Why did she take his life? Sergeant Brown.
I examined the barn very carefully. There were some blankets in one corner. Close to the blankets was a lantern and a newspaper. I would say the deceased was lying down reading at the time he was disturbed.
Was there any sign of a struggle?
None at all.
Sergeant Grant was off.
Murder, March the 1st last, we experienced one of the worst storms ever known in the district. It broke at approximately 6 p.m., and after that it would have been impossible for anyone to get to the farm. The storm continued until early morning.
And the approximate time of death, Sergeant?
9 o'clock, sir.
When the storm was at its worst?
Yes, sir.
We may think it then that the time of the shooting, only the murdered man and the two women were present at the farm.
It would seem so.
There is little more to say, Your Honor. The rifle with which the unknown tramp was shot belonged to the accused and had her fingerprints only on it. When the police arrived next morning at the farm, brought there by the woman Lomas, the accused offered no explanation of the tragedy. And why? Because there was none to offer. Up to now, she's spoken no word in her defense. And I submit, Your Honor, that this silence is a clear indication of her guilt. This woman, Nora Quinn, is guilty, horribly guilty, of this senseless and unprovoked murder of a harmless and unknown man.
How little they know, these people who accuse and condemn. Oh, yes, I killed him. But I am guilty of no senseless crime. When you live with sorrow for 20 years, when it gets into your brain and your heart and your very soul, when lies and injustice have poisoned your existence for so long, and suddenly truth stands before you, waiting to be revealed, you must do something, anything, even murder. Soon I shall tell my story, and for once these people shall know the truth, the whole truth.
Jane, you've undertaken the defense of this woman?
Your Honor, I'm in a very difficult position. I've been appointed by the crime to conduct the case of the defense, but despite every endeavor on my part, The accused has persistently refused to discuss the matter with me.
Yet she pleads not guilty. It's extraordinary.
However, I would be lacking in my duty if I did not make some effort to defend her. I can bring forward no witnesses, but I propose to show that the case the Crown has put forth is not so watertight as my colleague would have us believe. When we consider that these two women were alone on the farm when this unknown tramp arrived, is it not possible that afraid of what he might do, perhaps he had previously threatened one or the other, and in self-defense...
That is a lie!
Order! Order!
The court will come to order! Prisoner, you have come to this court and pleaded not guilty to the crime of which you are accused. You have given your counsel no information on which to base his defense. If you have now changed your mind, then the court will consider adjourning while you consult.
I want no adjournment or consultation.
You must show the court respect.
I mean no disrespect. But I would like to tell my story in my own way.
You wish to enter the box and make a statement?
Yes, sir. I will tell you what happened that night. I will tell you everything. You see, I knew this man. The man who was murdered. I held that gun that killed him. It was these hands that fired the shot, but I am not guilty. Not guilty!
Order! Order!
The public gallery will remember this is a court of law, not a circus.
You will enter the box and tell your story.
It was late afternoon when he came to the farm. He looked just an ordinary tramp. They often came in to beg for food. I was watching the storm clouds gathering over the hills when I saw him coming. Bella was in the kitchen. I could hear her humming softly to herself as she prepared the dinner. I saw the tramp turn the corner of the house to go to the back door. I heard him knock. I heard Bella go to the door, and I walked to the kitchen as he spoke.
Just some food and shelter, lady. That's all I want.
Well, I don't know about shelter, but I'll give you something to eat.
There's a terrible storm coming up. There ain't no shelter in these hills.
Plenty of caves if you take the trouble to look for them.
You ever spent a night in a cave, lady?
That's enough of your cheek, my man.
Oh, I didn't mean no harm, lady, but it's biting cold in the hills. Wouldn't have to use the barn, would it?
I'll have to ask the mistress about that. It's all right, Bella. You can sleep in the barn.
Oh, thank you, lady. Much obliged.
Tramps often came to our back door. And before we gave them food, Bella always made them wash. He had the tea to get, so I took him out a basin of water. He had taken off his coat, and the old sleeveless sweater he wore was torn and dirty. But as he turned to watch me approach, a sense of dismay came over me. I felt fear like a cold snake around my heart. I gave him the basin and turned to go, and then I saw it. On his right arm, near the shoulder, a scar. A scar shaped like a cross.
Hey, what are you staring at?
That scar. On your arm.
What about it? Like nothing?
Well, how did you get it?
It's pretty easy. Oh, is that a scar? Hey, what's the matter with you? You look scared.
Sorry. Scars. Wounds. They upset me. I must go.
What's the matter with you?
Bella,
you come and sit down. Here, let me help you.
No. No, I'm all right.
Well, you don't look it. Looks as though you've seen a ghost.
Don't say that.
What's happened?
Did that tramp... Bella, quickly, go outside. Look at that man.
I've looked once.
But look at his arm. His right arm, near the shoulder.
Now, Miss, I've got more to do.
Don't argue and don't give him notice. Look at that arm.
Oh, all right. Seems a bit silly to me. Well, I looked.
What did you see?
He's got a scar on his arm, that's all.
Did he notice you looking?
Now, Miss Nora, what's come over you?
No, he didn't.
I just walked along the veranda and picked up a towel.
But
and
you saw the scar. You did see it.
Of course I did.
Then I'm not going mad. Have you ever seen anything like it before?
No. No, I can't say as I have. It's a pretty old wound by the look of it. More like a burn, I'd say.
You're right, Bella. It was a burn. And it is old. He got it when he was a boy. His brother did it. They were playing. They were only children. I saw it happen. I came home crying.
For heavens, I remember.
You know who he is now, don't you?
I can't be. They're dead, both of them.
Are they, Bella?
I don't like this, Miss Nora. Don't let that man in here.
Yes, let him in. 20 years ago, a man was hanged for a murder he did not commit. Tonight, we're going to find out the truth about that murder.
Let the dead stay dead.
But they won't, Bella. They won't stay dead.
Something evil about this. Something evil. Listen to the wind. Listen.
We can't send him away. And the rain. The storm is here. It's an omen. An omen.
Don't talk like that.
We can't get away now. Not as he did 20 years ago. I went inside and waited till Bella had given the man his food. I tried to think, to reason, to picture what must have happened on that night 20 years ago. Oh, I'd done that often enough before, but this time it was different. Here was something too horrible to contemplate. At last, Bella came in.
Well, I've given him some old blankets and he's gone over to the barn.
He didn't recognize you?
After 20 years? Of course not. I can't say as how I'd recognize him either.
Except for the scar.
Perhaps it's not the man.
It must be. I'd never forget that scar.
What are you going to do?
I don't know. Somehow I must find out the truth.
Listen, Miss Nora. I've been with you all your life. After your mother died, young as I was, I took care of you. Your father...
My father was kind to you.
And so was that my own father.
And my father was hanged for a murder he did not commit.
I know.
We are the only two who can prove to the world that he was innocent.
Please, don't bring it all up again. It's forgotten. The whole thing is forgotten.
Not by us, Bella. Not by you and me. For 20 years we've remembered. That's why we've lived here. Just the two of us together. So that we could remind ourselves.
But your father's case is in the past. What good can come of bringing it up again?
So that everyone will know that my father was an innocent man. Don't you want that too?
Yes. Course. But I'm afraid. You tell that man out there that you know who he is, that doesn't mean he'll tell you the story.
I can guess the story. Can't you, Bella?
No, it's too horrible. I won't believe it.
Not more horrible than condemning an innocent man to be hanged.
Wait a minute. I'll go down the hill early and bring the police back. You tell them who he is. That's it? You tell the police and they can start an inquiry.
He'll be gone before you got back. And maybe the police wouldn't believe my story. No. I must handle this my way.
What if he attacks you when you go out there?
He should be safe. You see, I'm taking my gun with me. You've always been glad I learned to shoot. Be glad tonight.
What are you going to do?
Hear his story and then... Then I think I must kill him.
Part two of the case of the unknown tramp will follow in a few moments. Meanwhile, your announcer. The court resumes, and the case of the unknown tramp continues. Dora Quinn has once more taken her place in the witness box.
Order! Order!
The accused has referred to a murder which took place 20 years ago. And has suggested that a man, her father, was wrongfully hanged for that murder. I consider it the duty of this court to allow the accused to tell us of that other case. I feel it may throw some light on her motives in this present case. The accused will continue her story.
My father was a pastor in the little town of Vailwood, which lies on the other side of the hill. He had a farm. Bella was our servant. Close to us was another farm owned by Martin Burns, who lived there with his brother Neil. Martin wanted to marry me, but my father...
My daughter marry you?
No, Burns, but the thought is intolerable.
I have a good farm, I'm a good worker.
I have told you I will not consider such a thing.
But why?
I do not like you, Martin Burns. Neither you nor your brother.
Not as Miss Neal's lady. Drinks a little.
Drinks a little. He's a disgrace to the neighborhood, and you are a little better.
You've no right to speak like that.
I'll speak as I please, Burns. I've been pastor in this town for many years. I've known you since you were a child, and I repeat, I wish to hear no more from you concerning my daughter.
Unfair, Pastor. Neal and I did get into a few scrapes when we...
Boy, you're a liar and a cheat and a worthless no-good.
You old hypocrite.
That's enough. So far as you're concerned, I don't want you speaking to my daughter again.
Sir, I'm not good enough for her, eh? Aiming at something better. Someone wealthier. You give yourself some mighty fine airs, Pastor Quinn.
Get out. Leave my premises, you hear? Get out.
Dad, what's the matter?
Get that man out of my sight before
Dad,
I...
Dad, you're only upsetting yourself. What have you done to him, Martin?
I suppose that we get married.
Me marry you? I wouldn't marry you if you were the last man on earth.
You heard what my daughter said, Burns. Now get out. And if I ever catch you anywhere near my home or my daughter again, I'll take my stick to you and fight.
Father, please. Hey. Martin, go away.
All right. But I won't forget how you treated me. I won't forget. And neither will you, Nora Quinn and Pastor Robert Quinn.
That's the way it began. This story that's finishing here in this court today. Began that moment my father ordered Martin Burns away from the house. The whole town knew that the Burns brothers were vicious, cruel, and not to be trusted. But how could we guess the hatred that was in Martin Burns as he walked on the farm that day? We thought no more about it. It was forgotten, and not even remembered when Neal Burns came begging help from my father, asking for some work on the farm, swearing to reform if Dad would help him. Dad believed him, and Neal came to work for it. Then one day I returned from the town.
Oh, Neal, I'm glad you're back.
What's the matter, Bella?
It's your father, miss.
What's the matter? Is he hurt? Where is he?
He's in his room.
Oh, I must go and see him.
No, don't go to him. He doesn't want to be disturbed.
But what's happened?
It's that Neal. There's a bad one, if ever there was.
What did he do?
Provoking your father. The pastor lost his temper.
Oh, Bella, he'll be ill again. He always is when he loses his temper. And he worries so afterwards.
I know. He's in there now with his Bible.
And Neal, where is he?
Gone.
Took to his heels in a hurry when your father started threatening him.
Oh, thank goodness for that.
He's done nothing but make trouble since he came here.
The funny thing is, Mom.
What, Dad?
Sometimes I think he did it deliberately. Provoking your father, I mean. And that Martin Burns has never forgiven you or your father. I understand every time he goes down to the hotel, he starts threatening you both. Says he'll make you pay for the way you treated him.
Do you think that Neal came here deliberately to annoy Father?
I don't know. But he came with a purpose that I do know.
Yes. He's gone now. It's all over.
Somehow I don't think so. Somehow I feel that it was a bad day for us the day Neal Burns stepped over our doorstep.
Neal Burns went out of our house, out of our lives. He was never seen again. Within a week, they were searching, questioning, wondering what had become of Neal Burns. In that little isolated town 20 years ago, we had no efficient police force. We rarely needed one. It was some days before they found the remains of the fire in the little gully behind our farm. I remember that spot so well. I used to play there as a child. Someone recalled seeing the fire the night Neal Burns had disappeared. A figure had been seen standing in the shadows watching the fire burn. The spot had been well covered over, and they started to uncover it. They raked over the ashes. Something glistened in the sunlight.
There's Buckle. There's Neal. And look, there's a window. Everyone knows this thing. It's Neal. Dead. Murdered, I bet you. And I know who did it. It was Pastor Quinn. He hated us both. He threatened me and he threatened Neal. Everyone knows he did. Pastor Quinn murdered my brother.
My father was arrested inside. In a little town like ours, everyone knew of the quarrels he had with Martin and Neal Burns. The fire was on our farm. But the people loved Father. They knew him as a stern but just man. They didn't condemn him at first. Not until Bella told her story. Poor Bella, she didn't realize.
The house that night, the Parkerwood. I know because I saw him. But he couldn't have murdered that man, I know that. You see, he was walking in his sleep. He did it occasionally. But I know he couldn't have committed the murder. Couldn't have done a thing like that in his sleep, could he? You don't believe me. But it's true, I tell you, it's true. I wouldn't have told you if I thought you would believe me.
But they didn't. Not the sleepwalking part. They thought she was trying to protect him. Poor Bella. But there was one person who thought she was telling the truth. That was my father. After he heard Bella's story, he thought he must have committed that murder without knowing. My father died believing himself a murderer. Now is my crime a senseless one? Was it wrong to kill the man who did this thing to my father? Wasn't it right that he should die? I killed that tramp, and I'm glad I did.
Order! Order!
The court will come to order. I must ask the accused to control herself. I would point out that it is never right for an individual to usurp the function of the court. When justice is to be done, our courts will do it. In killing this man, it would seem that you not only desire to avenge your father, but wish to prove his innocence. Is that it?
When I realized who that tramp was, I knew I could prove that my father had no part in that old murder.
See? Are there any questions, Mr. Casey, that you would care to put to the accused?
If you please, Your Honor. Miss Quinn, you've told us a most unusual, I might even say a most fantastic case.
It's true, every word of it.
Let's hope so, it's been on oath. It seems to me that by killing this man, you destroyed your evidence as regards that old murder case. Alive, the man could be in question. So could...
Dead, he will speak louder. It was not his words which tell the story, but that scar on his arm. Everyone in Vale would know that scar. Call anyone from over the hill and they will identify it.
Whatever the idea, the dead man, I put it to you, Miss Quinn, that you killed him. And you are therefore guilty of the crime of murder.
I am not guilty.
Yes, you admit taking this man's life.
Yes.
I find it very difficult to understand you. From your story, I gather that this man, this tramp whom you admit killing, was the man who 20 years ago murdered Neil Burns.
That man with a scar on his arm is Neil Burns.
Order! Order!
How can I be guilty of murdering a man already legally dead?
Miss Quinn, you do not seriously ask us to believe.
I have said, call anyone from Vailwood. We all knew Neil Burns. Everyone will identify him.
I must insist on silence in the court.
He told me the whole story before I killed him. He was the shadowy figure seen beside the fire. Oh, it was planned, cleverly planned. While his brother Martin provided himself with an alibi, Neil arranged the fire. He went away that night, taking all Martin's savings with him.
And Martin?
He's dead. He used to send Neil money so that he wouldn't come back to Vailwood. When the money stopped, Neil became a wandering tramp. It was fate that brought him to the farm. Fate that brought that storm. I knew that someday I'd be able to tell my story, and I've done it. I've done it.
Justine, control yourself.
Control myself. Keep calm. I've waited 20 years for this moment, and it's come. I've cleared my father's name. It wasn't easy. Dear God, it wasn't easy to kill him. He looked at me just before he died. His eyes staring at me. Don't let him look at me. Don't die. Don't die.
Thank you.
They carried Nora Quinn from the courtroom. For weeks she lay desperately ill. She's still desperately ill. But she's quieter now, perhaps happy. It's hard to tell. But she will spend the rest of her days in an insane asylum, with Bella Lomas as her only visitor and friend. A strange story was investigated and proved to be true. And in the little town of Vailwood, just over the hills, there's a new stone over an old grave. Its inscription reads, "Under this stone reposes Robert Quinn, who suffered unjustly for a crime he never committed, victim of a foul plot, unhappy sport of blind justice. The judge departs. The jury is discharged. The judgment has been given. Another human story is over until the law of the land is challenged again. And we are privileged to hear once more at this time, Dramas of the Court. This is a Grace Gibson radio production produced by Regis Johnson.